Go ahead and be turning your Bibles over to Psalm chapter 23. We'll get started there in a moment. You know, I have all kind of questions about this video. So, I mean, how did the sheep get into the tire? You know, that's number one. How did the sheep get into the tire? Because whatever he was doing, it was clearly a bad idea. I'm a dad. Dad jokes are going to come out in the sermons, you know. But why are those guys just sitting there laughing? You know, are they the shepherds? I really hope not. You know, I tend to think they're probably the shepherds' adult sons that still live in mom's basement. And they're like, I'm going to take this video and get some likes on YouTube, you know. But why are they just sitting there doing nothing, you know? And ultimately, how did the sheep get out of the tire? You know, I've got so many questions about this video. So, like we've said several times today, thank you so much to the anonymous donors for the chairs. They are awesome. They are great. You know, I was told several times since we got them, you know, you really got to make sure your sermons are exciting because people are going to be falling asleep. These chairs are so nice. So I said, well, I'm going to start off with a funny video, you know, get everybody's attention. But no, it actually has to do a lot with my lesson. Let's go ahead and read over in Psalm chapter 23. It's a psalm a lot of you probably can recite from memory. I'm going to read it out of the CSB version. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. Pardon me. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. The title of my sermon today, and point number one, is the Lord is my shepherd. You know, this is probably the most read and recited psalm in the world. You hear it at funerals, you hear it at weddings, at bar mitzvahs, I'm sure, and hospital visits and movies. It is very popular. Many of you probably memorized it in the KJV version as a child. You know, it's an extremely popular psalm. So today what I want to try to do is look at it with some new eyes and some new insights. Once I heard a joke, another dad joke coming. You know, it's fitting that the word dog spelled backwards is God, because the Lord is my shepherd. Wait for it. Thank you. There we go. German shepherd. Oh, fine. Yeah, right. So is that what did? Yeah. Yeah, I know. What is the idea that David is trying to... It took her a minute. She got it. There it is. Delayed reaction. You know? So what is the idea, though, that David is trying to capture by saying that the Lord is his shepherd? Because, see, David, if you remember, David, before being king, was a shepherd boy. Yes. Abel, the first martyr in the Bible, tended sheep. Moses spent 40 years caring for Jethro's sheep. That's what he was doing when he ran into the burning bush. Amen. The elders in the church and the elders of Israel are often called shepherds. God is described as Israel's shepherd in Genesis 48 and 49. And ultimately, the promised Messiah is described in several passages as a shepherd. So what is it that's so unique about this analogy that God is a shepherd and we are sheep? We are his sheep. You know, I think that it's because no other analogy, no other metaphor rightly or in a great way captures the nature of our relationship. When you think about the line right after him saying, the Lord is my shepherd, he says, I have what I need. I shall not want. I shall not be in want. And the Lord is my shepherd is really a verbal construction in Hebrew. And the idea is that Yahweh is shepherding me. God is shepherding me or leading me or guiding me is the idea. So when he says, I have everything I need, what about you? Do you just recite this psalm as something you read? Or could you say this as something that you live and experience? Could you say this in faithfulness to God? I have what I need. Listen to this excerpt. It's from a book, one of my favorite books. Protagonist of this book is a shepherd. It says, the day was dawning, and the shepherd urged his sheep in the direction of the sun. They never have to make any decisions, he thought. Maybe that's why they always stay close to me. The only things that concerned the sheep were food and water. As long as the boy knew how to find the best pastures in Andalusia, they would be his friends. Yes, their days were all the same, with seemingly endless hours between sunrise and dusk. And they had never read a book in their young lives and didn't understand when the boy told them about the sights of the cities. They were content with just food and water. And in exchange, they generously gave of their wool, their company, and once in a while, their meat. They trust me, the boy thought, and they've forgotten how to rely on their instincts because I lead them to nourishment. You know, have you completely forgotten how to rely on your worldly instincts because God provides your nourishment? Do you trust Jesus so completely that you really don't have to worry about things? Are you allowing Jesus to be your shepherd in such a way that you really, in a sense, can be mindless because of how well he's taken care of you? You know, is this psalm real in our lives? See, in the Eastern world, understanding what a shepherd would mean is this. Eastern shepherds guarded their sheep, led them, provided food and water for them, took care of them, rescued them when they strayed, helped in delivering when they were giving birth, and gave and knew their names. Do you see how God provides for you in this way? Do you feel that God supplies all of your needs? Not your job, not your intellect, not the government, not your hard work, not your bank account. Is God Jehovah Jireh to you? The Lord is my provider. Do you say, I have everything I need? So point number one is God your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? Do you feel like the Lord provides for you? Secondly, he says, he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Here's the thing about sheep. Sheep will not lie down if they are hungry or in distress. They won't. They fret too much. They worry. Just like us, right? You know how you can't sit down when something's just on your brain. You're pacing back and forth. Sheep are the same way. They can't lie down. The idea of you, we can't sleep when something is bothering us so well. Sheep won't lie down when they're hungry or in distress. But God feeds and cares for us so that we can get rest. You see, that's one reason I think that God doesn't sleep. Remember when Elijah was mocking the prophets of Baal? He's like, maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe he's asleep. Our God doesn't sleep because he constantly has to provide for our care. We have many needs, and he supplies them all so that we can rest. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. Has Jesus given you rest? Or is your life constantly in a state of panic and worry and fret? Is the Lord your shepherd? Think about how vigilant a shepherd has to be. He has to be watching for predators. He has to be watching for straying sheep. He has to be knowing when a sheep is about to give birth. He has to take care for his own physical needs. He's got to be looking out for any and all problems that might come upon the sheep. God is constantly looking out for you. All times of the day, while you sleep, while you get up, while you rest, while you're sitting at church in these comfy chairs, trying not to yawn, God is constantly looking out for you. When it says he leads me beside quieter, still waters, you know, an interesting thing about sheep is that they won't drink from a very loud, bubbling stream. They're too skittish. They get too nervous. And so oftentimes a shepherd will have to spend a good part of his day damming up a stream to make the waters still or quiet. But what happens? While the shepherd is doing that, I'm sure the sheep get anxious. They get nervous. They start to want to wander. You know, when God is quelling the streams in your life, when God is quieting the waters in your life, when God is damming up the river in your life, do you get impatient and wander off? When you pray, do you wait for him to answer, or do you get impatient and go try to find some other water on your own? Are you willing to wait for God to dam up the river for you so that you can be under his care and protection, or do you get too restless, too anxious, too nervous, and decide to just go do it on your own? When you pray, how faithfully do you wait? Do you let God quiet you? Do you let God sing over you? Do you let God take care of you? We all, next slide. You forward the slide. Oh, there we go. You know, do you have a mind full, or are you mindful? Because when you let God quiet you, when you're able to lay down and rest, you're able to be mindful of who he is. Learn to be present and enjoy being under God's care, being under his wings. Or are you too busy, worried about all those things that make us wander? There's a gubernatorial election in a week and a half. What's going to happen to my state if my candidate doesn't win? What's going to happen if the Senate or the House of Congress gets changed into different hands? How much time are you spending arguing about it on Facebook? Now, here's the thing. I'm a Matthew 18 guy. I like to go directly to the person. But the problem is, with that, sometimes there are so many people. I spend nothing but my week getting with people talking about arguing on Facebook about politics. So I'm going to say it from up here. Stop it. Guess what? Vote. Don't vote. Vote for this person. Vote for that person. In the grand scheme of heaven, it does not matter. It really doesn't matter. God is not contingent upon the United States doing well to get his purposes done. Rome was a terrible place. And they did, you know, find a way to sort of give peace around the world. Pax Romana, right? But God wasn't contingent upon the Roman Empire to get his will done. What are the things that are keeping your mind so full that you can't lay down by the quiet waters and drink? Is it sports? Look, I know, because, you know, my team, you know, here's the thing. The thing is, my team hasn't really been that good for many years, so I get to not worry about it. You know? But, you know, what do you like when your Ohio State and Purdue beat you? When your team goes into Death Valley on a Saturday afternoon, number 2 in the nation, right? And it doesn't turn out well, right? Are you letting God lead you beside the quiet waters? What about your bills? Now, again, we need to work. We need to be responsible. We need to be great at our jobs. We need to be amazing examples to the world of what it looks like to be the light. Amen? But God's got to be your provider. He's got to lead you beside the quiet waters. Are you allowing him to? Are you so busy, distracted, and consumed by all those things that you're wandering off? See, the thing is, the sheep completely trust the shepherd. They have to. For us, I think that trust is built up through Bible study, through prayer, through obedience to the word. Wash, rinse, repeat. So fun. On Thursday night, David and Kitty, David got baptized last Tuesday, and called them up, or he just said, man, we just haven't gotten together in a couple of days. I'd love to just get with you. I said, let's go on a prayer walk. So I called up Jim and Cindy Albert, and I said, hey, would you guys just meet us over at Swanee Town Green? And we just went out on a prayer walk, and it was just amazing to just be there on a Thursday night talking, walking, and praying. I felt like, man, this is rest. This is amazing. This is God leading me beside the quiet waters. You know, be praying for David and Kitty. Kitty normally works on a Sunday morning. She works, her job generally has her come in on Sundays, and she's trying to change her schedule. Be praying about that for her. David had a class he had to go to today. It was the first, he called me this week. I'm so bummed I won't be there this Sunday, but send my love to everybody. He had a class he had to be to, but be praying for them. You know, as they're new to the family, pull them in. Help them to be a part of this flock. You know? But the thing is, when we're close to the shepherd, when we're taking prayer walks, when we're getting in our word, it is easy for him to quiet us because we trust him. Verse 3 says, he renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. God renews our lives and leads us on the right path. It is God who saves. You know, when Ken got up there sharing about him being at Columbia, I'm sure he would say, it wasn't because of me or righteous things I had done that God saved me 37 years ago. When Jim got up there, I'm sure he wouldn't say 43 years ago, it's because of all the great things I did. No, God saved me. God is the one who saves. I'd like to introduce you to Quentin and Damaris Moss. If y'all stand up for a second. So they are awesome. They're part of our Young Professionals group, and they started coming out the Cornerstone, I think, in late spring or early summer. And we started getting together with them, studying the Bible. They were coming to our game nights and just building a great friendship. And as we were studying with Quentin, we started talking about conversion and you know, what God had did in his life. And so he told this amazing story about how he really grew up not really believing in God. And he had a friend, ironically, that was a Jehovah's Witness that tried to convert him. And so he started off really studying the Bible to prove this guy wrong. But as he started reading and studying the Bible, he himself grew faith in who Jesus Christ really was. And really reading and studying the Bible on his own, he came to the conclusion, you know what? I need to be baptized. And so he just went on Facebook, put it on his Facebook post. Hey, you know, is there anybody have a church where I could be baptized at? And a coworker of his was a member of the Avondale Church of Christ, said, come on over to my church. And so he went that Sunday, went to the morning service, and then in between during Sunday school, the elders of the church studied with him, and he said, I'm ready to make Jesus Lord of my life. And in 2012 at the Avondale Church of Christ, Quentin was baptized into Christ. So just wanted to give him the right hand of fellowship, let you guys know, you know, welcome in here at the church. Well, his wife Damaris, they got married last year. And they are just so fun. They are just such great people. We love having them at game night. We love just hanging out with them. Well, the guys, James Kelly and I, were studying with him, and Natasha and Destiny were studying with her. And, you know, over the last few months, she's been building a great friendship. And cool thing is, she's named after Damaris in Acts chapter 17, the Athenians that started following Paul. You know, she had been brought up in church, learning about the Bible. You know, it had some very religious experiences. And at different points in her life, she really saw God was leading me to do different things. God was leading me, shepherding me. And through studying the Bible, she's realized, you know what? I think I really need to get baptized. You know, and so yesterday morning, about 11:30 in the morning, lots of y'all came over here, and Quentin baptized Damaris into Christ yesterday morning. But here's the thing. God saved her. Wasn't Natasha and Destiny. Wasn't Cornerstone. When we sat down before the baptism, I said, you're making Jesus Lord of your life. Not Fenton, not Cornerstone, not Quentin. And the biggest thing is not you. You can't be Lord anymore. Amen. When you become a disciple, you're saying, I'm going to let him lead me. I'm going to let him shepherd me. And the thing is, he says he does this for his namesake. God is going to be honored. God is going to be glorified. When you're following him, he won't let you down because he wants his name held in high honor. God wants to bless you, but you got to follow where he leads. Amen. For his namesake. What are you like outside these walls? What are you like during the week? What are you like Monday through Saturday? Are you following him? Are you letting him shepherd you? God wants you to be a light. He wants to bless you. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be rich. Did somebody hit the Powerball last night? I don't even know. I didn't even check, you know? I didn't play, you know? But here's the thing. That doesn't mean you're going to be rich. That doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want. But you will be able to say, I have what I need. Because God is shepherding me. Next verse, he says, even when I go through the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here's the thing. You will go through a valley. June O'Keefe right now is going through a valley. Kelly LeGue is going through a valley. Boomy has been through a valley this year. Sonia Thomas is going through a valley. Steve and Hope are going through a valley. Leon is going, we're all gonna go through a valley. It's not if I go through the valley, it's when. When I go through the valley, he says, I fear no evil, I have no fear of danger because he's with me. See, the thing about sheep is they have very poor eyesight. They get easily frightened, especially in the dark. But their fear of danger can dissipate when the shepherd is near. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. A couple weeks ago, the middle schoolers, we took them to a corn maze. And there was a haunted forest in the corn maze. And, you know, you should have seen them. It was so funny. They're all just freaking out. And, you know, I'm walking through with one of the groups. And like, all right, you go in front, you know. And the thing is, the darkness can be very scary. You know, when I was a kid, I used to love scary movies. I was all, maybe it's because I was born on Halloween, you know. Yes, if you didn't know that, yes, I'm a strange guy. That explains it, right? You know, but I was never really afraid of scary movies because guess what? When I went home, I lived in my dad's house. And I knew nothing was going to happen because I lived in my dad's house. Now, as I've become older, I don't really watch scary movies anymore. Because when there's a strange noise, when there's something going on, guess who has to go check it? You know, I'm the guy, you know, and I don't need my brain going there with Michael Myers. And, you know, I just need to have a clear mind, you know, if something's going on. But the thing is, darkness can be very scary and frightening. But it says my rod and my staff, or his rod and his staff, they comfort me. So a sheep's rod was a heavy cudgel with which a shepherd could stun or kill an attacking beast. Think about when David was talking about why he was going to kill Goliath. He said, your servant has been tending his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard and struck him and killed him. This Philistine will be just like one of those things. You know, that cudgel was the attacking weapon for a shepherd. And so when David is saying it, it comforts me to know that God has got my back. God is going to protect me. God is the one who's going to ward off any attacks. The shepherd's staff was that crook that you always see in pictures, and he used that to assist the sheep, to pull them back in, right? And so the thing is, the shepherd has to protect the sheep. Sheep are one of the few animals on this planet that are almost completely helpless and defenseless. Their natural state is to be lost. So you think about the idea that God calls us sheep, it's to wander. That's their natural state. They're slow. They don't have any weapons. And by all accounts, they're dumb animals. And so when you look at what a bear or a lion would do to a sheep, that's what Satan wants to do to us. Remember that video at the beginning, the sheep in the tire swing? That's what it's like when we're in our sin. We're just a sitting duck. And unless God comes and rescues us from that, we're sitting ducks. So here's the point. Don't get in the tire swing. What is your thing? What is the thing that keeps you from wanting to be close to the shepherd? Is it immorality? Pornography? Sexual sin? Alcohol or drug abuse? Selfishness? Pride? What is it? What is your tire swing? Right? That the shepherd, don't get in there. So the interesting thing is, you know, at night, at evening, the sheep would pass under the crook one by one, and he would count them and examine them. You can look at Leviticus 27:32 about that. And he would know all of their names. He would protect them. But at night, they would come in, he'd count them all. And hopefully this past week, you were able to read John 10. When Jesus talks about the idea that, you know, he guards the flock and he says, I am the door, or I am the gate. There we go. So when Jesus says that, it's amazing what he's saying when you understand this. So as the sheep would come in the pen, he'd count them. And if, you know, if out of the 100 he'd lost one, he'd leave the hired hands, his helpers, right? Jesus said a hired hand doesn't care about the sheep, but the shepherd does. And he'd go find the one that was missing. But when they were all in the pen, they generally have these pens that were made out of rocks. And just imagine how much time it takes to build this pen. The blood, sweat, and tears that the shepherd puts in to make sure that the sheep are protected. And then when Jesus said, I am the gate, what he's talking about is it was the shepherd's custom to sleep right at the gate. And so nobody was coming in or out unless they went through the shepherd. That's who Jesus is for us. He's got us in his flock. He wants to protect us. And he's at the gate waiting to ward off any predators, anything that wants to harm us. He's there to protect us. He is the door. You know, Damaris went through the door yesterday. You know, what about you? You haven't. Hey, we'd love to study the Bible with you. But the thing, understand, is that Jesus is the door. He wants to protect and look after us. Finally, you know, last point here. It says, you know, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. A lot of people think that the metaphor sort of shifted here. But actually, David is sort of doing a double metaphor. He's talking about, you know, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. What he's talking about is that flat hill lands were sometimes considered tables. And flat hill lands were where the shepherd would take the sheep so they could go eat during the day. And the anointing my head with oil part, can you hit to the next slide? You know, it's a double meaning because, so for a king, when David was anointed as king, they put oil on his head, right? That is exactly what it's referring to. But also, one of the interesting thing about sheep, one of the big problems that you can sometimes have with sheep are nose flies. Jesus cares about your nose flies. What that is again, sheep are very prone to getting infections. These little flies that will come and basically lay eggs in their nose. And it can get so bad that it can spread on up to their brain. And so sheep can sometimes, you'll see them banging their head against the wall or something, and this will make the whole flock scatter or get scared or very frightened. And so one of the things that the shepherd would do, well, he would get this anointing oil and pour it on a sheep's head as a sort of natural defense against the nose flies. And so when it says that he anoints me with oil, it's God is going to protect me even from the little inconveniences that can spring into big, crazy things. God wants to anoint your head with oil. When they talked about, you know, in the Old Testament that you wanted a sheep without blemish or defect, they were talking about one that didn't have the scabs or the sores that would come from these flies. Or a lamb that had never had a leg that was broken. It had to be perfect in every way. Think about all that a shepherd has to do to have a lamb without blemish or defect. And ultimately, that's who Jesus was. Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. What Ken was talking about in communion. And at the last judgment, Jesus gives this analogy. We've got sheep on one side and we've got goats on the other. And if you think about the difference between sheep and goats, the Dixons have some goats. Goats are actually very intelligent animals. There have been studies showing that goats are about the same intelligence as dogs or cats. They're able to protect themselves. They're quick. But the thing about goats is they're fine being alone. A goat doesn't have to have a flock to be all right. And that's the point. Do you feel like I'm fine being alone? I don't need a shepherd. I don't need a flock. I'm smart enough. I'm quick enough. I can defend myself. Or are you the sheep? I need the shepherd to protect me. I need to stay within the flock. I'm prone to wandering off. I need his rod and his staff. So today, as we think about Psalm 23 and the idea that the Lord is my shepherd, let's remember all these different points, that he will lie you down in green pastures if you let him lead you. He renews your life. It is God who saves, not you. Even when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, he's there with you. When troubled times come, he's walking right beside you. He doesn't abandon you. He's not afraid of the dark because he is the light. He's going to anoint your head with oil. God cares about even the little things in your life, like a wedding banquet running out of wine. He cares about the little inconveniences. And ultimately, how this ends, it says, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. You know, this Psalm 23 is not just something that should be read at funerals. It's not just something for heaven. He wants to lead you right now. He wants to give you goodness and faithful love and mercy right now. But the thing is, you've got to follow him. You got to hear his voice and know his voice. You can't know it if you're not getting in your word. So the challenge today is to let the Lord be your shepherd. And just remember how much a shepherd does to love and care for the sheep. And that's why he laid down his life. And that's why I'd be willing, and we should all be willing, to give up our lives for him, to live for him, and to follow the good shepherd. Amen? Yeah.